Was there a football club or any team playing in the mid 60s when you arrived back in Wivenhoe?
Well, that was Wivenhoe. Mm.
And
but what happened before I came to Wivenhoe, I had a wife and two children. We lived in Ilford, and a place called Barkingside. And we moved from there to Wivenhoe. And in the stay at Barkingside, my wife came from South London, and she was pushing her pram, big pram, along the main Barkingside, and she bumped into a girl who she was at school with in South London, and this girl was married to Malcolm Allison, the guy from West Ham, and all West Ham players all had houses in Barkingside, most of them, all I suppose paid for by West Ham Football Club. And so we got quite friendly with West Ham Club and that. And I met the chap here, whose brother, Johnny Bond, he was a West Ham player. He became a manager at Norwich, I think. And I think he lives up at Manchester now. Anyway, that's how I got really in with the football. In football media, and then I came down here, and we used to drink in the Rose, Horse and Groom, no, the Rose and Crown, and there was a chap there called Harris, Jack Harris, and he used to run the line for the club or something up in the park there, and he said, you know, he said, I know you're interested in football. He said, why don't you come and join us? And so it meant sort of marking the line out or carrying the goalpost out or something and all that. Anyway, I did it. And about within a year or so, perhaps even quicker than that, they were having an AGM up in the pub upstairs. They couldn't agree to a chairman. And so they're all brothers and fathers and uncles and cousins of everybody, and they all sort of couldn't agree. So somebody said, what about that fella there, me? And I'm sitting there listening to, I didn't know anyone. And they said, why don't we ask him to be chairman? And they all looked, they said, who's he? You know, and so they persuaded me. They said, oh, well, you know, they couldn't complain, could they? And so I said, I would take over for a few weeks until you agree to have a chairman. And 22 years later, I gave it up in 1986.
So that's some status as being a chairman, yes. And so it must have been something which you really enjoyed doing, because if you stay for that kind of commitment, it's something which must...
Well, I always felt in my life, whatever, if you're going to do a job, you should try and do it well. And so, I mean, the state that was in, they had this old boy, old Jack Harris, who's about 60-odd, running the line, And they had this shed, like a chicken shed it was, and they used to go, and they were all smoking away. and it was dark. They didn't have any lights. And so I went out and bought a hurricane lamp and, I don't know, a gallon of paraffin or something, and lit it. And, you know, they were all there. And that was the first thing I did. And then from then on, I got really interested, and I encouraged other people to join, people that weren't brothers or sisters and whatever, and they rallied round me, and I used to go to the council and ask them, and they eventually built that building they've got down there now. I don't know, used by the infants now, isn't it, or something? and they had it divided into two for the visitors and the toilets. I mean, and come on, dear.
So this was before Broad Lane. So
yeah,
the team was playing somewhere different before yeah. then. Is it was which part of the town was the football club based at around this period, please?
Well, there. Well, we used to meet in a pub, but we really tried to meet in that in this building down on King George V. That's where they were playing, on this slope. And you know, I got really in with the Essex FA, and they said, oh, you ought to do this. You'll never get senior status if you don't get all the various things. And so it worked out quite well. It was in 1972, I think it was, when Colchester took over Wivenhoe. Wivenhoe was an independent unit, had its own, and they made the decisions of everything. But in 1972, I think it was, when Colchester took over Wivenhoe, and they came along and they said there wasn't enough playing fields, green fields, for the population of Wivenhoe. And so I stepped in and asked them if we what about the football ground then? And they gave me £3,000.
Which is quite a lot of money in those days, I imagine. That's quite significant.
Right. And then there was the MP, I can't remember him, Drysdale, I think, or something, but the MP for Harwich, we were under Harwich at the time then, and he looked round and he said, there's some ground going up where we were, and so we bought it.
And that's Broad Lane, yes.
Yeah, and it was just a field, and we've got Sparrows, he's unfortunately he died. Bill Sparrow, not Bill Sparrow, the Will, or something. What was it? Can you remember what was his name? Chris Wojcikowicz's husband. I can't remember. Anyway, one of the Sparrows company, and they came along and made a good job of it, and so and then everyone, the farmers, local farmers, brought their tractors up, and we put a fence all round, all required. And then I got in with the brewery at Ipswich, wasn't it? Toddy Cobbold or something.
Yes.
And got them, got some that got, you know, pumped him up and all this, and he. Thought it was a good thing, and he brought the beer in and took it on down.
So was there some kind of big grand opening of this new football club?
Well, we had the mayor of Colchester came. It was a lady, I remember, at the time. And that's what we had. And somebody had laid the car park, and the coach got stuck in it. The guy that laid it, that must have laid it a bit thin, but there was a big laugh about that. They couldn't get the coach out, would they? God dear.
It must have been quite a proud moment, because, you know, from going in and sitting at the back of this committee meeting, and then almost being thrust upon having the chairman's role, and then you just really transformed this club, and you put in place Broad Lane. It must have been quite satisfying for you.
Well, it was. We had some good dues, but we didn't stop there. So we kept winning, because we got people coming to want to join us, people around. And I used to be told that there was somebody who, out of Marstay or somewhere, and used to go and approach him and get them to join. And that, and we were really, we shook them. And the people we used to be frightened of was Brighton Seat. They used to thrash us. Well, they came, and when we used to have this regular game with Brightlingsea, it was on a Sunday, and a special rivalry between the two. And some of my top players, they used to give me excuses that they couldn't play because they knew they were going to be thrashed. But anyway, I accepted it, and we brought the others in, and we beat them. Oh, dear. And we beat Brighton, see. And Well, we went ahead of Brighton and see then, and then we were going league after league, and the people coming from there, they said, you've got to have a stand, and we got in with people who built the stand and all this, and we had to do this to become senior, and they said, you're going to be get senior status just like Arsenal. And we, I don't know whether they've still got it, but the senior status, and we got promotion with Woking, who is a good team now, but with no. And anyway, we celebrated, and we were all invited, and we went to the Hilton in Park Lane. What we can imagine, well, these people from Wivenhoe, we went to the Hilton in Park Lane to celebrate. We were invited up there, all our wives, and a big banquet there.
So at the kind of peak, what was the highest level of the football, of the whole pyramid system that the football club got up to? Did they get quite close to football league status at any stage?
We were one below. Vauxhall, I think it was called, wasn't it, or something?
And what kind of crowds was it achieving?
300 or 400. Yeah, we did.
And all the players, were they always local boys?
No, we used to get them from everywhere. We had a few internationals, Welsh internationals, who were playing up at, say, St. Neots or something. And we were getting down.
It must have been very different from what it takes now to actually manage and run a football club. So I imagine how people, you know, use email, use mobile phones and sort of team selection and making arrangements. What was it actually like, you know, during the 60s, 70s to try on a day-to-day basis?
That nobody had a phone. And the guy that was our secretary, a great boy, he's now passed away, Bill Hill, and he was the secretary, and he never had a phone. And the big occasion was, I want to say, when we first started, I had to persuade him to go on the phone. And he said, well, who's going to pay for that and all that? So I said, don't worry about that. And anyway, he went on the phone, of course. All right. And he did the job right up until I retired. And there's two big emblems up there now, still up there. One from the FA, saying what a good job he did and what a good job I did. And they're still up there. But just by and by, my granddaughter's getting married next Saturday, and her boyfriend wanted to have it up there, the reception. But it was such a state up there, so I understand now. And he said that... I was chairman up here, and they said, we don't know him. We don't know Vic Williamson. So it shows you it's gone a long way since then.
Yeah, that's probably very, very sad. And,
it is, isn't it?
Maybe it's just reflection on how the town is changing, and it's changing at quite a pace, and lots of, you know, newish people come in and are coming around. So we sort of mentioned about staying in touch and phones and stuff. What about just...
Well,
having travel arrangements. So if you've got an away match, what was the furthest place that that Wivenhoe played? Was it mainly sort of towards Essex and sort of Suffolk area?
No, played up in Norfolk. Places like that.
And was there a team coach which organised all of this?
Coach,
everyone got a coach?
Yeah, supporters coach. And there was,
And
then we got there, we was quite well off. And because during that time we started having trips to Spain, and we used to take the players and their wives and everything, and we'd most likely wind up with an aeroplane full, and we'd go to Spain.
And that was like playing trips as well, so you actually went to the team and played other Spanish teams?
We did. That was the people I knew in Barkingside. He became manager of a Portuguese first division side, Premier Division side, and we went out there and stayed. The team We stayed out there about a week. We had a couple of games with him.
So it seems, Victor, that football really has pretty much characterised the majority of your life here in Wivenhoe.
I think it did, yeah.
And it's been something
and now
that's...
nobody knows me. No, because I wasn't a chap to go round. I used to say to them that every Monday evening, you like me on the bus, I will always be there on Monday evening unless it's Christmas Day. And that's what I used to do. And if they wanted to come, they came. And that's how it was.
Hmm. But the legacy, obviously, though, is having this football club up at Broad Lane. And so you sort of mentioned that, I'm sure. This is quite important, I think, to try and record these stories and keep them and pass them on to people. Mm. I had no idea myself, personally, about how the football club ended up at Broad Lane. And you know, I'm finding this personally very, very fascinating to find out. So, do you get to watch Wivenhoe Town play at all now?
No.
Is that through sort of time?
I did go occasionally, but you know, I'm 85 now. I have to watch what I do.
But probably still some kind of pride that the football club is still running here in Wivenhoe.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. Well, they don't know me.
Okay, so that's really quite some story from like going back as the wartime young evacuee and then fingering home and then working again in London and coming back here. So the whole changes that have taken place in Wivenhoe, is there sort of one thing which has just really surprised you? One building that's kind of sprouted up, or one new sort of development? Is there anything which you thought, wow, that's really something quite different?
I suppose the football club is the one. When I go past it, I'll look at it and perhaps criticise it.
Right.
I'm going to the toilet.
Okay, well, that could be maybe a good place to finish, actually. So we've been speaking for some time. So if I just say thank you so much to Victor, who has been talking all about his time in Wivenhoe and at the football club. If you want to come forward for a chat, then please do. There's an email address where you can contact me on. It's as simple as jason@radiowivenhoe.co.uk. And always looking for anybody who's got a story as fascinating as Victor's, who wants to put it across. He's just disappeared, and I think I can maybe say, while he's not listening, maybe he kind of plays down the importance as to what he's been doing. I'm getting some nods here. The importance as to what he's done in Wivenhoe for the football club. I'm sure we can find some people who do know what he's been doing and nowadays sort of do generally appreciate all that he's done for football in Wivenhoe.